And good morning. It's 7:08 on WCCO. I'm Laura Oakes, and we are joined in studio today by our buddy Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, taking your car-related questions today by phone or by text. Of course, we'd love to talk to you, so call us 651-461-9226. Nick is the man with all the answers for your troubles, Nick.
I don't know about that.
And you were just showing me some pictures on your phone of a new little litter hatch. I don't know what they're called, but you got a yard full of baby turkeys right now, don't you?
We do. I'm not sure how I feel about that. And, you know, they're babies, so they're cute, but turkeys, they're not my thing. And I suppose they're eating a lot of bugs, so that's not the worst thing. But hopefully they move along before I get home.
And you told me they eat wood ticks?
I believe so. So
that's a good thing.
Behind our house there's the hill and a lot of wood ticks and such. And yeah, with kids and dogs and all that, it'd be better to keep them out of the yard also.
Yeah, no kidding. Nick and I live fairly close to each other, so I know exactly where he's talking about. And when we take our dogs for a walk down in that area, you can't not have a walk where you don't see turkeys. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. And
yeah,
I know back in the woods there, I know there's some coyotes and such.
Yes.
Running around too. So hopefully the nature will run its course and things will be just fine.
Right now, just enjoy those cute little babies before
yes.
they get big and you don't like them.
Correct.
Right? Okay. If you have a question for Nick, give us a call. Give us a text, 651-461-9226. And Nick, we were talking during the break, of course, about the heat. Shops are busy right now. College kids are getting ready to go back to school. What are you seeing with your stuff, your shops?
Absolutely. It seems to be, and I don't want to jinx ourselves because, you know, winter has its own issues, but
yeah.
This summer has been a real summer. It's been very warm. The eldest said the forecast is going to be, you know, heat index into the hundreds again. So shops are busy. You know, I know we're a couple weeks out. I assume most places are somewhere in that same neighborhood. So if you have a college-age student, or if you're planning a road trip before the kids go back to school here in the next few weeks, get on somebody's schedule, have your vehicle inspected. You know, people always ask, how often do I need to do the oil change? I don't drive that much. Well, an oil change, as we've talked many times, our opinion is 5,000 miles on synthetic oil change, 3,000 miles on conventional, which is kind of far and fewer between.
Let's stop for a second. What's the difference between those oils and why should people care about that?
Conventional oil is what we used when we were young.
Okay,
and then
gotcha.
with science and such and chemistry, they created synthetic oil, which is a better quality, more consistent. The molecules are consistent, so it's an altogether better product, which makes it last longer so we can have an extended period of time. There are manufacturers and folks out there that like to go a longer period of time. They have that right. I base my opinion on what we've seen over the years.
Okay.
All the mechanical wear, tear, damage from sludge, heat, all those things. So having good fresh oil is really important. And as I was saying, if you're the type of person where you don't put that many miles on, it's still really, really important to have the car looked at. What about the tires, the brakes, the steering, suspension, underneath? You know, you ran over something on the road, you kind of forgot about it. Maybe it created some sort of issue. So having your car looked at least twice a year, I think, is probably a reasonable timeline. Spring and fall, you figure out the cycle of it. But having the car at least looked at that point, they can look at the oil, look at those other items to make recommendations.
What if somebody says, there's nothing wrong with my car, why would I even bring it in and pay for that right now?
Well, why do you go to the doctor and have a physical?
True. You were ready for that question, I can tell.
Because I understand, you know, it's like, well, it's fine. It is until it's not. And
yeah.
I can promise you, it is way less expensive to maintain a vehicle than it is to repair a vehicle.
Yeah, for sure. If you have a question for Nick, give us a call, 651-461-9226. We're happy to take your texts as well. He's the man. He has all the answers for anything having to do with your car. And Nick, you were saying, you know, with college kids going back to school in a few weeks or people getting ready to take a road trip, now's the time to get on the schedule for one of those, just look it over like a physical, right?
It is, because, okay. You know, we always wait to the last minute, and we do our very best to help as many people as we possibly can, but we have a schedule. And, of course, there's always room to some extent, you know, but you can only do what we can do. We have at Lloyd's, we have 9 doors and 8 people fixing cars, and they show up in the morning and they pretty much work nonstop until they go home in the afternoon. And we're super fortunate to have great customers, great staff, great community that support that. But it's always hard when somebody shows up at 3 o'clock on a Friday and they have a problem. It's
right.
Like, man, I wish you would have called me last week.
Right.
You know, we could have, you know, and of course there's a lot of stress because we're trying to head out of town. I tried to head to a college town and the car is packed full of whatever, and it's just we want to avoid those stressful moments. You know, honestly, the cars are the easiest piece of that situation. It's trying to get the people together to figure out how we can help them.
And how are your employees handling this heat? I mean, they're rolling under cars all day long. I'm sure you have air conditioning in your shops, but that's still got to be tough. It's hot, dirty work.
It is, and the air conditioning is okay. You know, and I say that because the cars are hot, the doors are open and closed. You know, it's, you know, like having young kids and having the air on at your house, and they keep opening the front door and leaving it open. Well, you know, we fix upwards 40 cars a day, so those doors open and close several times every single day, and you know, it's the cars are hot, so it's a battle. We keep a lot of airflow, we keep them hydrated, we make the best of it. You know, we've all done it for a long time, so we kind of know the routine.
Yeah. What is the most common issue you would say that people are bringing their cars in for in the summertime when it's hot like this?
Well, usually air conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, people are uncomfortable, and you know, it's funny because we, you know, what is bad for us as people is good for the car business. So if it's really, really hot or really, really cold, which we don't appreciate
as
people.
They're not cheering, but
the cars, it helps the cars break. So, but no, it what happens if it's really hot in May, we always say, oh, it's going to be a good summer. And, you know, to be honest, I don't want winter tomorrow either. But, you know, these 100 degree index days could kind of go away. I kind of looked here a couple of days ago and it was like in the low 80s.
Me too. Oh, it almost seemed like fall, didn't it? I loved it.
It can stay like that for a couple of months, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too. All righty. We're taking your calls and questions for Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, 651-461-9226. You can text us. You can call us, whatever you feel like doing this morning. I want to ask Nick a very important question when we come back from the break. What makes him cringe when he sees it coming into his shop? That's coming up on CCO. And welcome back. Thanks for joining us this morning. My name is Laura Oakes. It is 7:19 on WCCO. A lot of you already out walking dogs, getting those walks in before we really heat up today. That extreme heat warning kicking in at noon. We are taking your calls and your texts for Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Talking cars, what's going on with our cars in this heat? What problems should you not be ignoring? And what kind of things should you be doing preemptively to not run into problems? And the number for any of those questions is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Quickly, I want to back up for just a second because we had a text a few minutes ago from somebody who was wondering if when we had Paul Hodowanik on from PGATour.com just half an hour ago, if I asked him about whether or not the golfers at the 3M Open can wear shorts today when it's this hot. I forgot to ask him, so I apologize for that, but I just texted Paulie, and he said no. Unfortunately, they still are not allowed to wear shorts when it is this hot and in an extreme heat warning. So they'll be wearing their pants still. We hope they have pants on anyway, but we know that the technology in some of these wicking fabrics and athletic wear is hopefully keeping them cool, but no, they cannot wear shorts. Back to your questions for Nick Stoffel. And Nick, we have a text. Somebody is asking, back to the oil question when you were talking about full synthetic or conventional. Was it conventional oil? No.
Yeah, I would call it conventional, which even at that, I think there's obviously some chemistry, so maybe it's a semi-synthetic. And, you know, the term synthetic, which is a good point, you know, it used to be, if it's just full synthetic, it's truly 100% synthetic. I think if it just has the word synthetic, it can be some sort of combination. That's why, you know, in the past, I've always say I like to use a branded product. Therefore, we kind of have a consistency. We know what we're buying. A lot of the stuff with the, you know, special at the end of the aisle type stuff, I would maybe kind of stay away from just based on my experience.
Right. This texter is asking, how many miles can I get on full synthetic?
I kind of stick to my guns on this one. I think 5,000 miles, and like I alluded to before, I know there's a lot of manufacturers, a lot of products that will say 10, 15,000 miles, and I'm not going to dispute that. I'm not an engineer or scientist. I'm just basing it off what we see. There's still carbon. There's still dirt. We have the heating and cooling cycles, which create condensation, and all that stuff creates sludge, which can get caught up and restrict passages for oil flow. It can cause buildup, which doesn't allow it to dissipate heat. And we just see a lot of mechanical problems that cost thousands of dollars to repair. My opinion is if you do one extra oil change over the course of a period of time, it's a lot less money.
I remember as a kid, and I think I've told you this before, when I was a new driver, and, you know, my dad owned an auto parts store. He was basically a mechanic and a small business owner in Shakopee. And the one thing he drilled into my head as a teenager with her own car, used car, I had a 78 Ford Fairmont Futura, light blue. We called it Bucky because it bucked a little bit, like at the McDonald's drive-thru. We would rev up. My girlfriends started calling it Bucky. But anyway, he said to me numerous times to never, ever ignore the oil. And I'll just drilled in the importance of checking my oil every single time I put gas in that car. And so we don't have to really do that anymore, right?
Well, on that point, the oil is the lifeline. It is the blood like we have for ourselves, for the engine. And, you know, it is more difficult to check your oil. Luckily, a lot of late model vehicles have sensors and level sensors that kind of do that for us. I still would argue on a semi-regular basis, when you're filling up at the gas station, instead of staring at your phone, walk around, look at all four tires, make sure they look okay. Maybe open the hood just to take a look, see what's under there. You know, who knows? You know, you might find, you learn something, you might find a critter's made a nest. You know, you don't know if we don't look. So, you know, you don't need to be a mechanic, you don't need to be a motorhead, all of that, but you should at least be familiar in the event that you have troubles. It'd be nice to have some sort of basis to kind of work off of.
For sure. This texter wants to know, is there a big difference in oil filters?
Another great question. Okay. And I would pay the extra dollar. I don't think you need to buy the top of the line one. But that filter has a capacity. Once that capacity is filled, it goes into bypass. So anything's just circulating at that point. It's no longer cleaning. So I would say, you know, the middle grade or the OE quality level filter is probably appropriate. You know, a lot of times when you find these places, and I can't speak specifically, but you see these really low dollar services that are offered, or these really discounted services, the math has to work. You know, a business can't stay in business giving things away. So at that point, I suspect that they're using maybe a lower quality oil filter, and some of those cost savings might feel like you're saving money, but it might not be worth the return on that.
You get what you pay for. It's one of those situations. We're taking your calls and questions for Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, 651-461-9226. Any kind of car-related question, Nick is here with us for about 20 more minutes. And Nick, I said that I had a question for you. What makes you cringe when you see it coming into one of your shops?
So, you know, I don't know. I would say two different examples. One would be where we feel bad. You know, people neglect, they forget, they don't have the means. And, you know, we can give the best sound advice that we can. And ultimately, it's up to people to decide what they want to do. And those are situations where we maybe recommendations, and we feel our best to explain, and people defer or decide not to do it because it's not in the cards at that moment.
Yeah.
And then you see it come back on a tow truck.
Yeah.
And then you feel really bad, and you try to work with them and do what you can. But unfortunately, in those situations, some cases, is like I said earlier, repairing the vehicle oftentimes can be more expensive than maintaining it.
Right.
Meaning, oh, we had this slight situation we could have dealt with. We could have repaired, adjusted, done something. Well, now because of we didn't do it, there's consequences of failure, maybe multiple failures, you know, cause and effect type situation, and it can become much more costly. So that kind of tugs at your heartstrings.
Yeah.
But you know, when you said cringe earlier, really, I thought of a couple scenarios.
Yeah.
A long time ago, we had some really good customers. You know, they had several daughters, and as those daughters grew, they had their own families. And the one daughter was maybe a little more flighty, I guess is the best way to put it. And she had a couple kids at the time, and she came in and referring to how her car just had this horrible smell. And I'm like, well, your car's not the cleanest car. But we went in and like, well, this is bad. And a baby's bottle had made its way under the seat, and it was the heat of summer. And
milk residue.
after a bit of time, that became an unforgettable type of smell. So that made me cringe. And then we've had a few critters looking for some warmth making under the hood of a vehicle from time to time. That unfortunately, when we fire the vehicle up, that does not result in a good situation. And those are plug your nose.
Yeah.
Get the degreaser out and just hope for the best.
You're not really in the barbecue business.
No, not at all. And it's okay. We make it through it. We've done it, but it's not what we want.
I have a quick story that you reminded me of with the horrid smell of that baby's bottle of milk. When I was dating my husband back in the, when would this have been? Oh, God. Late
Just yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know. Around 1997, 98. And he drove a beater for a while. I think it was a Cutlass, Oldsmobile Cutlass, maybe a 1980. Terrible color of blue. I just hated the thing. But he didn't have a car payment. Nobody has money at that point. We were very young. So I didn't complain. But all of a sudden, me as the passenger started smelling something really bad in that car for a while. And it was summertime and we couldn't figure out what it was. And we looked under the passenger seat and a crock pot that had been full of barbecue cocktail weenies had spilled months earlier. And now in the heat, these barbecue weenies were kind of coming alive under the seat. Ew. Oh, boy, that was bad. Candace, looks like we have somebody on the line.
Jerry from Minnetonka.
Excellent. What's your question, Jerry?
Good morning. Yes, I've got a speed round. I just hit a dyno. It's got like close to 1,000 horse. But I use a mixture of fuel. I don't know. I use non-oxy fuel and some airplane fuel. But I just wondered for winter storage, what would be the best? Just seafoam or whatever for winter storage, just non-aspirated, I should say.
You know, we get that question a lot about, you know, as the seasons turn and we take that summer hot rod that we like to take on a nice Sunday drive, or in your case, you know, something a little more than a hot rod there, but what do I do with it? And, you know, the first thing you can do is talk to the engine builder. You know, I mean, if you've got that kind of investment into an engine that's got a lot of horsepower, I would take their opinion. I know there's a lot of people talk about seafoam and other products, and we always try to say, read the can, do as a can describes, try not to sway from what the can recommends. One thing I will recommend is stable in the fuel. You know, that, you know, you don't want to have, fuel that's kind of turned over and, you know, that turpentine smell and kind of and no longer fuel. So you put that product in, it'll kind of stabilize the fuel through the winter months. So come springtime, the vehicle will start and run. You can run through that tank of fuel and get a fresh tank in and kind of proceed. You know, it's difficult with some of these vintage vehicles that we only drive on Sundays that we just don't get enough miles on them. And, you know, we don't get through enough fuel. And, you know, even with the oil and those situations, I think at least once a year that oil has to be changed, mostly because the heating and cooling cycles, we create condensation. That condensation becomes sludge. So I would say talk to the engine builder. I like that stable product in the fuel. You know, ask around, go to a car show, you know, see what your peers are doing and take that out of consideration and make the best choice for yourself.
Excellent. Thanks for the call, Jerry. Candace, looks like we have another caller on the line.
Bill from Richfield.
Go ahead, Bill. What's your question for Nick?
Actually, it's Joe.
Oh, sorry about that. Good morning,
anyway,
Joe.
Joe, Bill, you know.
Whatever works. I called in 3 weeks ago to your show asking with a question about getting a replacement key for my car, which had the dealer told me the key was failing because the electronics were old and dying. And they quoted me a price of about $400 to replace it.
I vaguely remember, yeah. What turned up it?
Well, what happened was I went to my local locksmith shop and they said, no, we can't do it, but here's some names of independent guys. And I took their advice, called a local guy who came out to my house and replaced the key perfectly satisfactory for less than half of what the dealer quoted me.
That works. You know, there's a lot of situations where in the aftermarket, there's some workarounds. I assume it's an aftermarket key. You know, a lot of times the manufacturers, you know, you pay a little bit extra for the product itself. And in this situation, it sounds like it worked out. It doesn't always work, you know, as you probably know. But, you know, it's good that, you know, you did all the right stuff. You went and talked to your local locksmith and he said, oh, I know all these folks that can help you. And, you know, that referral business, the word of mouth, finding situations that have worked, you know, because there's plenty of situations where they don't. But I'm happy to hear you found a workaround to save yourself a couple $100. So congrats.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for the call, Jerry. It is 7:31 on CCO. It's time for us to take a break. When we come back, I have a question on the text line for Nick having to do with AI. We'll get to that on CCO. And thanks for sticking around with us. It's 7:37 on CCO. I'm Laura Oakes. You're listening to Car Care with our buddy Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick is in the studio today. And Nick, we have a texter asking, is AI helping you? And how? Paul from St. Paul, how do you use it?
Well, it helps me write things, I can tell you that. Being a mechanically inclined person does not make writing one of my strengths. I can tell you that. I work with my fingers, not my brain. But I would say it's an amazing technology. It helps with some of the diagnostic processes.
Mm-hmm.
AI cannot fix a car per se, obviously. But through our research, you know, we do a lot of research. A lot of our guys are students of their craft. And what I mean by that, they look at their schedule that's coming up and they see, oh, I have to do one of these water pumps or one of these repairs I haven't done for a while, or there's a variation that's a little bit different. So
yeah.
They'll go home and do some research on them. They'll read up on them. They'll even YouTube them. So, yeah, we use YouTube also to kind of get a feeling for it. Now, I can also tell you that 2-minute YouTube video is not an accurate depiction of how the job goes sometimes. But I think all technology, AI, the videos, the do-it-yourselfers, there's a lot more information out there, which is very helpful. The hard part is you have to be able to figure out what's the helpful information, what's the misleading information. And, you know, I've read some stuff where it's like, well, that's not exactly accurate. But it's another tool in our toolbox, I guess.
Okay, very good. We have another question on the text line. I never let the gas in my car get below a half a tank before I put more in. Is this okay? Should I be using more gas before putting more in? Does that matter?
Well, they say it costs just as much money to keep a full tank as an empty tank. And
okay.
When we were all younger, we all stop and get those $1, $2, $3, $4, $5 worth of gas because all the money we had.
I know.
Don't do that. Couple things and factual things. The fuel, believe it or not, works as a coolant and lubricant for the fuel pump that's an electric pump in the tank. So having the fuel there keeps it from overheating, keeps it lubricated. That's important. And if you're driving on a regular basis and you're the mindset, I go to half a tank, I fill it back up, you're still cycling through. You're not hurting anything. There's no risk there. But I would definitely say it's probably not the best plan to take it all the way down to E every time because that can be hard on the fuel pump.
Gotcha. Another texter. We have a 2013 Sorento, a new battery with a new alternator. Out of the blue, at a stop, it quit. It started right up with no recurrence since. Was that just a fluke?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
And vehicles, there's a lot of computers in vehicles.
Yeah.
When your laptop acts up at home, you just restart it and it's okay. Same idea. You know, I don't want to make more of it. Now, if you're like, oh, it's been doing it more than on a semi-regular basis, well, then we should start talking and start having some conversations. But if it's a one-time fluke, it's just that. I wouldn't look any further into it.
Okay. A couple more minutes left with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive of St. Paul. If you have a question, give us a call. Give us a text, 651-461-9226. Nick, what would you say is kind of the most common thing that people tend to neglect? Not necessarily anything big, but could turn into something big like you were talking about before.
Well, I think for the most part, a lot of folks will do the oil changes, and it's our job. And this is always the hard part is I truly know factually that when a vehicle comes in, it's our job to look at all the little things, you know, the maintenance items. We make recommendations, things that are on the outs, I guess. And I would say most cars leave with a list, not necessarily a long list, but like, hey, these are things we need to keep an eye on, or these are things we should do before winter, or these are different scenario things. And I think a lot of times we all have busy lives and we forget to come back for those items.
Yeah.
And we try to remind them, we're pretty passive on it. We're not very aggressive and pushy. I don't want to be like that, but we've built really good relationships. So usually when we talk with people, we're telling them the truth. They know that. But I think a lot of times that we get so busy, people forget, and then they have some sort of failure, and then there's some frustration because if we would have taken care of those items, we wouldn't have a failure, which puts us without our vehicle. So I would say that's probably the biggest thing that I see.
Okay. And I wanted to go back to when you were talking about how people will sometimes not do that routine maintenance because they don't want to pay for it or they don't really have the money to pay for it. Do you guys ever work with customers like that on some kind of a payment plan, or are there plans available where they might be able to get some help affording repairs?
Well, we don't participate in those in-house financing outfits. You know, it's mostly my opinion, quite honestly, because I know a lot of, and they approach us all the time. Like, oh, we can offer your customers 6 months interest-free.
Mm-hmm.
The part they don't tell you that interest is accruing throughout that time. And unfortunately, you know, there's moments in our lives, but if you're in a situation where you don't have the means to do it right now and you take a 0% financing type deal for 6 months, what are the odds of you paying that off within 6 months?
Right.
Probably not pretty good. And
yeah.
It just kind of snowballs from there. So I don't want to be associated with those situations. And, you know, everybody has their budget. Everybody has their priorities. Everybody maybe stops and gets a fancy coffee and has the latest and greatest phone. You need to put your vehicle higher on that list.
Gotcha.
You know, I mean, we all want to have fun. We all want to live our lives. But without, you know, if you're not in the situation you can get by without your vehicle, don't put yourself in a situation where you can't have it.
Yeah, good advice. Let's tell people where you are located or how to reach you if they want to get that car in for a tune-up here in the next few weeks.
As always, you don't even have to bring it to us. If you have a question, you know, I don't expect you to drive across town. But if you have a question, you're not sure, call and ask. We'll always give you advice. And you can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul, we're on Grand Avenue. We're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. For all that information and more, do check out our website, which is LloydsAutomotive.net.
And let's spell that, LLOYDS.
Correct.
Automotive.net.
Yes.
Got it.
Double hockey stick, OYDS.
Got it. Thanks for coming in today, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you.
Yes.
All right. It is 744 on WCCO Radio. Just about time for our buddy Ted Farrell and his weekly wine chat. Stay with us on CCL.